You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Lance Stephenson joins the Pacers in Cleveland, and we have one of the wildest games of the season. Coincidence? I think not. Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Pacers. And this episode is presented by SeatGeek and the wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. And with a pair of big-time home games this week, no better time than the present to use SeatGeek to get into the fieldhouse and get crazy for the Pacers. Now, on this episode, we'll take a quick look back at the painful 135-130 double overtime loss to the Cavs on Sunday evening. An incredible duel between Paul George and LeBron James, but in the end, the Cavs had a little bit more out of their supporting cast, leaving the blue and gold with another frustrating loss on the road. We'll also take a look at Lance Stephenson's season debut with the Pacers and how he altered the dynamic of the team. Definitely brought a little juice, a little edge, which was great to see. And then we'll also look at the latest standings. Pacers were able to survive, and in fact, I kind of feel like they increased their playoff hopes despite the loss with other key losses around the East. They're currently still outside the playoff race due to tiebreakers. But we'll check in on where they're sitting and what they need to do going ahead. And also look out behind because Charlotte has the pedal to the metal trying to close on those playoff contenders. But before we dive in, reminder to hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, so the Pacers entered the game against Cleveland on Sunday with their backs against the wall outside of the 18 playoff race in the East. Due to a tiebreaker, they are actually tied with Miami and Chicago when the night started. But by the end of the night, things would change drastically in the East, but not before the Pacers and Cavs put on quite a show. At Quicken Loans Arena, Paul George ended the game with 43 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds. LeBron James, for his part, had 41 points, 11 assists, 16 rebounds. And the duel was real. PG played 48 minutes, LeBron 52 minutes in the double overtime affair. And it will be a tough one for the Pacers to absorb just because they had so many opportunities down the stretch in regulation and even more so in the first overtime to handle the Cavs. And then in the second OT, when Cavs had a bit of an advantage, running with a 2 or 3 point lead, most of the time down the stretch, the Pacers kept answering but could not get the one stop that would get them over the edge and give them a win on the road. Again, it was a fantastic effort. The Cavs are in a similar race at the top of the East, trying to earn that first spot. Boston had already won today. Starting K-Love, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, J.R. Smith. They're fully loaded. Only guy missing really is Kyle Korver, who's been out for 4 games with a foot injury of some sort. He should be back soon, but he was not back on Sunday. But the Cavs had no problem making up for his absence from behind the arc. They made 18 three-pointers, 6 by J.R. Smith, 3 by LeBron James. Kevin Love had 3, and those 3 guys in particular really killed the Pacers. You know, Kyrie Irving had 23 points and 7 assists, but while he was out there almost the whole game, it was LeBron running the show, and the kickouts to K-Love and J.R. Smith were huge, as was one key putback by Kevin Love, which really killed the Pacers down the stretch. In the second overtime, I'll hit on that in a sec. Going through the Pacers, Thad Young had 19 points, was pretty strong early in the first half. Didn't play a lot as the Pacers tried to go with a little bit of a smaller lineup, which was working well down the stretch and in the overtimes. Paul George, as I mentioned, 43 points, big game. Miles Turner played 47 minutes, only had 8 points, 3 rebounds, did have one big-time block on LeBron, and I think that block, plus his history with LeBron late in the game, lured LeBron into giving up a shot at trying to dunk over Miles at the rim. Instead, he kicked it out for a missed three. Unfortunately, the Pacers weren't able to take advantage of that situation. Jeff Teague ended up with 17 points, 11 assists. And off the bench, C.J. Miles had 27 points, made 5 three-pointers, but late in the game missed 1 3. That was a great look that would have kept the Pacers in the game late. But as it was, the Cavs were able to close out the win in the second overtime. So if you look at the game as a whole, it felt like the Pacers were really going to sneak this one out somehow. Things were happening that don't usually happen. There were opportunities for the Pacers to get run over late in the game, and they kept bouncing back, kept making plays. And then in that final, in that first overtime, Pacers were down by one. It looked like they were going to go down. Paul George got a last shot with less than 2 seconds to go, and it was a contested two. His foot was on the line, and unbelievable. Lord have mercy, I've never seen this before. On the road against Cleveland, PG got a call. Pacers got a call. And Paul had a chance to go to the line and put the Pacers up one with a little over 1 second to go. Leading free throw percentage shooter in the league. And what happens on the first shot? He goes halfway in and somehow bounces out. Unbelievable. This is the season we are enjoying. Fortunately, PG was able to drain the second one. And then the Pacers were able to defend at the other end. Paul George was just a monster on LeBron on inbounds plays with little time left in both overtimes and disrupted several plays. There were plays at the end of both overtimes where PG defended LeBron quite well and was able to give the Pacers another opportunity at the other end. And they were taking advantage most of the time, but just not enough. With the missed free throw and then missed three by CJ late. But the last 2.5 minutes of the second overtime were critical. Pacers were in a dogfight going back and forth. Paul George was in the midst of scoring 19 straight points over both overtimes. And Pacers were down by one. And with PG defending LeBron, he put up a contested three-pointer that was missed. But with the smaller lineup on the floor, Jeff Teague and Monte Ellis were left trying to handle Kevin Love under the boards, and they didn't. There was no hope. And Love snuck in and was able to get a tip in, and that made the score 121-17, Cavs up by three. And then it was just a show from there on out, and the Pacers were able to answer but unable to get the stop. They had to come down. Paul George hits a three. Ties the game up. Then the Cavs bring it down. JR gets open. Three-pointer. Boom. Cavs back up by three. Paul George comes down. Sets himself up. Scores a 19-footer. Two-pointer. Cavs up by one. But then Kevin Love comes in. Gives us a little long jump hook. About 8-footer for two. Cavs back up by three. PG comes down. He hits down another mid-range shot for two. So Cavs up one. Then off timeout, LeBron comes out, hits a three-pointer, and looks like, oh, that's going to kill the Pacers inside a minute. But Paul George immediately goes down, drains his own three-pointer, back to one, just throwing haymakers out there at Quicken Loans Arena. But unfortunately, Cavs come back down, and LeBron sets up Kevin Love, who knocks in another three-pointer. Now Pacers down four with 26 seconds left, call a timeout, set up play, and this is where we get C.J. Miles with a nice open look on the corner after a pump fake and ball bounce. So the first stop goes to the Cavs in that flurry of scoring over a two-minute stretch there. And from there, the Cavs were able to seal the deal. They did give up a three-point foul to CJ, but he was only at that point able to close it to 3 points. And the Cavs were smart enough to make the Pacers only foul Kyrie Irving, who made all his free throws down the stretch and never gave the Pacers another chance to get back in it at the end of the game. And that would be it. Tough road loss for the Pacers, as they've suffered several times this year. But there was hope in the effort that they put forth for all 58 minutes, including the double overtime game. And this one, it was a bear, and they kept battling. They got some good minutes from Lance Stephenson, which we'll get into in a minute. And the spirit and the effort they had down the stretch to pull that game out is something that if they can play like that at home against Toronto and Milwaukee, they should be in good shape and remain in the playoff hunt. If not, if they fade away, if they feel like that's it, then they're going to be done, obviously. But I have a feeling that with Lance coming in, he's just getting started. He's going to keep people hopping, and the Pacers aren't going to fade away without at least going down swinging like they did in Cleveland. So Pacers are still in good shape. Just have to hold home court with a pair of tough games at the Fieldhouse this week against the Raptors on Tuesday and the Bucks on Thursday. Seriously, this is the time to wear out your SeatGeek app, because buying tickets online for sport and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. So you got to get out for games this week. Let me pull up the Tuesday game against the Raptors. This is going to be outstanding with Lance's return to the Fieldhouse. Also a decade game with PG bobblehead dolls being given out. I know ever since Lance signed, ticket demand went up. Let's see. You can still get in, lower level behind the basket for under $50. Also upper levels for around $15. So plenty of good seats available. So check out the SeatGeek app and you should find some quality ticket options, because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate on tickets, first download the SeatGeek app, then go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code. Under the promo code, enter LO Pacers. That's all caps, one word, LO Pacers. And then SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Pacers today. All right, so as I mentioned, Lance Stephenson will be making his debut at the Fieldhouse, his home debut. He did make his season debut with the Pacers in Cleveland on Sunday, and quite frankly played more than I expected. I didn't think he would play much at all, since he hadn't practiced much with the team. And also, he's coming off injury, not really in great game shape. Those are his words in an interview I heard on Friday on the radio. But he looked like he was ready to go and could have gone all night. The way he was out there playing, he didn't play great the whole time. But again, he brings something that is hard to quantify when he's in that blue and gold uniform. And it seemed like the whole team kind of fed off of that juice, that energy. And the fact they're playing LeBron and the Cavs, I think, made it emphasize that even more, because he was guarding LeBron at times. He was definitely talking to LeBron the whole time. In fact, there was one stretch there where LeBron was just going at him, and LeBron had a pair of free throws, and Lance was talking to him the whole time. LeBron's talking back. They're engaging, and LeBron missed two free throws. So, boom. What more can you ask for from Lance? Is there anything more fun than Lance just taking up residence under LeBron's skin? It's a time-honored Pacers tradition, so that was kind of fun to watch. But as for the overall game, Lance struggled, missed a few good open shots, just made 2 of 7 field goal attempts, had 4 points and 3 assists with 3 rebounds, did have 5 fouls, and I'm not sure if he would have come out as early as he did. Once he got that 5th foul, Nate pulled him out, and he didn't put him back in, so maybe he wouldn't have stayed out much longer. But it would have been kind of interesting to see the dynamic down the stretch, especially if he was playing for Monte Ellis, just because of the size. And we saw in that overtime, when I mentioned that Kevin Love got that easy putback because Teague and Ellis were in there, left alone with him to rebound. You know, if that was Lance, that might be a different story. He might get a body on him, or at least cause a little more physical effort out of Love to get that rebound and putback. So, you know, that's obvious hindsight. And you never know what would have happened if he had played. He could have been dominating the ball, because at that time, PG was dominating the ball. He was scored 19 straight, and it was his time. So regardless, Lance did have an impact, you know, on the game. The bench struggled some, of course, in this game. But overall, Lance did a pretty good job handling the ball. He had a few good passes. There was another highlight of Lance's outing. Showed some of his, you know, raw accountability. He'll hold players to, you know, when he's not getting an assist, he's going to let people know about it. But, you know, in this case, it was the right play. Lance made a ridiculous pass inside to Miles Turner. And I honestly, Turner was probably surprised he got the ball. And he was right at point blank. A little jump hook would have been easy. Could have taken a power step and dunked it. But right when he caught it, you know, like I say, it was almost like he was surprised. Lance got the ball into him on the bounce pass, and he kicked it out in the corner for a three-pointer, which missed. And then the ball ended up being lost out of bounds. And right away, Lance, you could see, got in Turner's ear and was like, dude, put the ball in the hoop. So his new teammates are going to have to get used to that feedback, immediate feedback, shall I say. But also get used to getting some sweet dimes thrown their way. So stay alert, be ready to make a play, because Lance can get the ball to you in tight situations. So, you know, overall, it was a pretty fun appearance to watch. And again, like I say, the great matchup with Cleveland just added to the juice. You know, it was fun watching that, and then watching PG and LeBron just literally throwing haymakers down the stretch. You could see, you know, watching Twitter and watching the feed, a lot of the national writers and NBA folks were gravitating to this game and watching it go back and forth. Even saw a tweet from Evan Turner, who was pulling for PG big time. And, you know, it became the game of the night in a hurry. And how does that happen? It's magic of Lance. I don't know. Puts on that Pacers uniform. Crazy things happen. So now that can be crazy good and crazy bad. We all know that. But for the most part, it was crazy good, at least for his first appearance. Surprise. Played 18 minutes. And I would imagine that that will be at least the norm going forward here. So we'll see. I would be interested to see if with Lance in there as kind of that bigger ball handler type, if Nate McMillan might shake up the starting lineup, put CJ back in the starting lineup, move Monte back to the bench. I'm not expecting that at this point. I think Nate's just riding this thing out. Good, bad, or worse, I don't know. But hopefully he'll find some ways to incorporate Lance when he's going well. Now there's times when Lance may not be going well and you don't want to incorporate him. That's fine. But you know, in this game, it was so surprising that he played so well. And I think he certainly wasn't expected to play 18 minutes. I would imagine McMillan would have thought more along the lines of, you know, 10 to 12 minutes with Lance tonight. The fact he played 18 was him letting him go a little bit longer. There's no doubt. So it's hard to say that he should have been playing 25 or 30 minutes in this one. But I would like to have seen him in there a little bit, in hindsight, considering what things could have ended up any worse since they already lost. So it would have been interesting to see if there were any wild plays that could have been made down the stretch in one of the overtimes and turn the game around. So, but we'll take that as it is at this point. again, I've been amazed at the buzz and the positive reaction. Lance is coming back, and he certainly didn't reduce any of that enthusiasm with his game tonight. So it should be interesting when he is first introduced and takes the court on Tuesday when the Pacers play the Raptors. Now, that game is going to be huge because now the Pacers, obviously, after losing this game, the playoff hunt remains dicey for them. They're in ninth place. But fortunately for the Pacers, Miami lost, Atlanta lost, and Milwaukee lost. Now, I think the Bucks are out of reach at this point, but Atlanta and Miami, I guess, are the teams you got to watch. Chicago rolled to their win as they beat the Pelicans on the road on Sunday evening. But the Hawks losing to Brooklyn, and then Miami lost at home also to Denver. So those are, you know, losses that I wasn't assuming the either team would have. So, and I was assuming the Pacers would lose at Cleveland. I'm still keeping an eye on the Hawks because they're two games ahead of the Pacers, but they now have a three-game and four-day stretch coming up with two games against the Cavs and a game against Boston. And all the Pacers have to do is draw within one game of the Hawks, and then that final game of the season will be for a playoff spot and the tiebreaker, or I guess the order goes the other way. They'll be playing for a win, the tiebreaker, and then the playoff spot if the Pacers are within one game of the Hawks at least. But you know what? You got to look out. Charlotte Hornets, only one game behind the Pacers right now, and they've won three in a row. They are 7-3 in the last 10, playing really well. But as I was saying to somebody earlier tonight, we're talking about it. It's like, well, if Charlotte's going to chase them down, they don't have a chance to catch anybody ahead of them anyways. So at this point, the Pacers just have to win, and then let everything else take care of itself around them. But if they play with that effort they showed and the resolve they had in Cleveland, they just need one more shot to go in. They will be in good shape with those two games at home and then two winnable games on the road. So hopefully that'll be the case. I kind of feel after these two games against Milwaukee and Toronto, we will know one way or the other if the Pacers are going to be in the hunt or if they are done for the year. So again, get those tickets. Hit up SeatGeek and get out to the Fieldhouse. Again, thanks to SeatGeek for presenting the episode. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the game and current state of the Pacers, Lance's debut. You can reach me via email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. You can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn four times gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are four for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are $10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.